It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
And welcome back to the SwampSwamiSports.com sports podcast. Today we'll talk about the USFL's week number 4. It was a lot of cartoon fun.
You know what? I'm happy.
And now, here's that man with all the wisdom of bygone ages, Mr. Know-It-All.
With the fourth week of play in the new USFL now completed, a few unique characters within the Football League have been emerging. So let's go in and summarize the games from last weekend's fourth week in the USFL. Birmingham 16 and Tampa Bay 13. The league-leading hometown Birmingham Stallions remained the only unbeaten team in the USFL last weekend after they scratched out a 16-10 win over a tough Tampa Bay Bandit squad on Saturday night. Led by a couple of players with Hall of Fame cartoon names, Birmingham quarterback Alex Magoo.
Got it again.
Passed for 139 yards and ran for 39 more and a touchdown to lead the Stallions offense. The former Florida Atlantic University signal caller was a 7th-round draft pick of the NFL's Seattle Seahawks back in 2018, but he didn't quite make it all the way to the NFL level. He has been on the NFL practice squads in Seattle, Jacksonville, and Houston prior to coming to the USFL this spring. The Birmingham Stallions went with Mr. Magoo at the quarterback position for the first time since he suffered an ankle injury in game number 1. Former Louisiana Tech Bulldogs quarterback Jamar Smith has done a terrific job in Birmingham in the interim. While we're on our cartoons, defensively, it was none other than Birmingham linebacker Scooby Wright, who was leading the way with 6 tackles and a key sack. And you could find old Scooby inside of Tampa Bay's offensive backfield on nearly every series. When Tampa Bay had one last opportunity to tie or win the game in the final minutes, Scooby snacked on the Bandits quarterback and then ran off the field with his very own unique celebration. He later called it his shark dog. Yeah, Wright said after the game, "It's half shark, half dog. It's my spirit animal." Birmingham's head football coach Skip Holtz later said, "There is nobody that has more fun on the football field than Scooby Wright. He's fun to coach, but he's even more fun to watch him play with the passion and energy he brings to every play. I really love him." Here's another game for you from the weekend, the Philadelphia Stars 26 and the Michigan Panthers 25. Now, this game was played on Friday night, beginning at 9 p.m. Central on FS1. The game's unusual midnight conclusion could have mysteriously played into the outcome of this game, as Michigan's place kicker, Michael Carrizosa, missed a point-blank 21-yard field goal as time expired. And with the loss, Michigan drops to 1-3. Philadelphia gladly takes the win and moves to 2-2 on the USFL's young season. As for the place kicker with Michigan, he's no longer on the Panthers roster as of this morning.
Fired!
Michigan's running back, Reggie Corbin, who plays the position a lot like former NFL star Darren Sproles did, racked up 152 yards rushing on 12 carries and a league-best 88-yard touchdown scamper for the Panthers. However, get ready again, it was Philadelphia quarterback Case Kukus who was, sorry about this, stirring up a great game for the winners. Philly's quarterback Case Kukus could very well be the never give up on your dream poster boy for the USFL's football players. He received no college football scholarship offers coming out of high school. And after a season of playing at the nearby junior college, Kukus then played his college football at FCS level Northern Arizona University. After his football in college, he's had 2 seasons since graduating from the school in 2020 and has played football for, you ready? The New York Giants as an undrafted free agent, the Denver Broncos for 3 days, the Minnesota Vikings for 3 days, Las Vegas Raiders for 6 days, and played most of 2021 with the Canadian Football League's Edmonton Elks. In leading Philadelphia to victory on Friday night, Case Kukus, the quarterback, completed 22 out of 30 attempts for 190 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Stars. He also ran 4 times to add another 35 yards. And here's a USFL fun fact for you. Case Cookus is the third, count 'em third, former Denver Broncos quarterback who is now playing in the USFL. He joins Paxton Lynch of the Michigan Panthers and Kyle Sloter of the New Orleans Breakers in the Spring Football League. Game number 3 over the weekend, the New Jersey Generals 21, the Pittsburgh Maulers 13. In a Saturday afternoon game seen by a smattering of fans in the stands in Birmingham and probably not a lot more at home who were willing to shell out money on NBC's Peacock premium internet service, the New Jersey Generals continue to believe that two heads at quarterback are better than one.
Yes!
New Jersey won its third straight game and improved its record to 3-1 with an easy 21-13 win over the hapless 0-4 Pittsburgh Maulers on Saturday afternoon in Birmingham. The Generals have been platooning two quarterbacks during their games, and it's been working out well in recent weeks. DeAndre Johnson completed 9 out of 10 passes for 98 yards, while his alter ego, Luis Perez, connected on 11 of 14 passes for another 102 yards for New Jersey. The Pittsburgh Maulers, though, continue to underperform on offense this season, as this team has tallied just 39 points in 4 games. This week, the team had 0 offensive turnovers and yet produced just 13 points. The Pittsburgh Maulers remain the only winless team in the USFL after 4 games. And finally, the 4th game of the week was played on Sunday afternoon, the New Orleans Breakers 23, the Houston Gamblers 16. This was a very exciting game going down to the last second when a touchdown was scored by the New Orleans Breakers to beat the 1-3 Texans 23-16. With the ball game tied at 16-16, the New Orleans Breakers, who are now 3-1, looked as if they were setting up a game-winning field goal attempt with just 10 seconds to play and the ball on Houston's 29-yard line. But instead of attempting a winning field goal on third down, the Breakers quarterback Kyle Sloter lofted a pass into the end zone where wide receiver Jonathan Adams snagged it for the winning touchdown. And after the game, the wide receiver joked that the play call was dual right, throw it to me. Jonathan J. Adams goes 6'3" and 220 pounds and played his college football at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro. And in 2020, he was named the Sun Belt Conference Offensive Player of the Year as a senior for the Red Wolves. Adams then signed with the Detroit Lions last year as a free agent, but he didn't quite make it to the NFL's big show. He was eventually released by the Lions. But through 4 games in the USFL's new season, Adams has now collected 13 receptions for 213 yards, and that's good for number 4 in the league. Jay Adams is proving that he is still quite capable and productive at wide receiver. Will another NFL team give Jay Adams a second chance? Well, based on his performance in the USFL so far this season, a very smart NFL team should take another look, and soon. Now let's take a look at some other USFL news. Pick up the pace. The NFL, for all of its faults, is incredibly consistent, though, in one thing. They keep their football games to about 3 hours in total length. The USFL football games, though, have been dragging on a little bit longer than anticipated, and that's bad news for TV. The USFL announced last week that the game's play clock will continue to run after incompleted passes during the first and third quarters only in an attempt to keep the football games at less than 3 hours in total length. Let's keep an eye on that one next weekend. Next up, will the USFL have a players' union? News is circulating that the National Steelworkers Union is attempting to organize the USFL players and encourage them to join their union. The most obvious problem with organizing the USFL's football players, though, is that their football league hasn't even played half of their first season yet, and there are no guarantees for a second season. If the television ratings from last weekend's slate of games declines again, there may not be a USFL next year anyway. The league's owner, Fox Sports, has previously stated that their goal is to have 1.4 million television viewers per game in 2022. And other than for week one, the weekly viewing audiences on TV have been less than expected and continue to move in the wrong direction. Next up, the TV schedule just keeps on shuffling from week to week. This week coming up will mark the halfway point of the USFL's regular season. Alas, the USFL keeps shuffling the game days and starting times on us. This week, there will be one Friday night game, a Saturday afternoon game, and 2 early afternoon games on Sunday. But last weekend, there was a very late Friday night game, a Saturday afternoon and Saturday night game, and just 1 Saturday afternoon finale. The lack of scheduling continuity for both game days and starting times is working against the USFL's ability to build a reliable television audience. Now let's go over the starting times for the week number 5 games. All of these games are Central Time and played in Birmingham, Alabama. On Friday, May 13th, it's the Michigan Panthers 1-3 versus the Tampa Bay Bandits, also 1-3. That game's Friday night at 7 p.m. on the USA Network. Then Saturday, May 14th, it's the New Orleans Breakers at 3-1 against the New Jersey Generals, also 3-1. That game will be played at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon on Fox. Then on Sunday, there's a doubleheader that starts at 11 a.m. Who thought about that one? On Sunday, it's Birmingham 4-0 versus the Philadelphia Stars at 2-2. That game kicks off at 11 a.m. Sunday on NBC, followed by the Pittsburgh Maulers 0-4 versus the Houston Gamblers 1-3, starts about 2 p.m. on Fox. So the moral of this story, if you want to keep spring football around for another year, try to watch a USFL football game this weekend. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.